to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, December 19th, 2021, by Eric Williams.
Welcome especially to Lucy and all of her family and friends who are here for her baptism. It's an unusual but a wonderful day for a baptism, especially given our gospel today, because as James and Kate know, a baby changes everything, right? The first one, probably the most, right? Henry was a total change of lifestyle. And as much as you think you're prepared, you're not prepared. Everything is different overnight, totally different. And then you're just getting into a nice routine and figuring stuff out, and now Lucy, right? And everything is different again. Though with two children, you're still playing man-on-man defense. You haven't gone to zone. So that's one thing. So much changes in the lives of a family when a baby comes. All the priorities change around you, your time and your energy. You have to kind of take naps when you can and hoard your energy, and you just, somehow God gives you the energy you need, somehow, to get through it. 2,000 years ago, another baby was born, and that baby changed everything. That baby, born to Mary, changed the entire world, and our response today is part of that Gospel of Luke. The beautiful song of the Magnificat is a template, a way of understanding how dramatically Jesus was going to change the world. But who could have known that when these two women met in a tiny corner of a forgotten part of the Roman Empire? Mary, who I'm sure was not feeling particularly blessed that day. I think she was feeling not blessed, but stressed, right? She was a new pregnant mom. She was unmarried. She had a lot of unusual stresses on her as well. She did not yet know if Joseph was going to accept her and go through with the marriage. I'm sure in her little village, the tongues were wagging, right? I mean, we know it was a miracle, but all they knew was, aha, Mary, that goody two-shoes, look at her, she's pregnant. You know how people can be. So I'm not surprised that Mary got out of town and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country. She wanted to get out of Dodge for a little while, and she met Elizabeth, and I'm sure she was just full of stress. But Elizabeth was able to see something in Mary. As soon as she saw Mary, John the Baptist leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb. Isn't that a beautiful image? He couldn't wait to come out and start telling the good news about God's salvation. Couldn't wait to share how exciting this was. And Elizabeth herself says those beautiful words, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." A prayer that has been said so many times, prayed and prayed and prayed by Christians throughout the world for all these 2,000 years. Somehow Elizabeth could see the blessing. That is our challenge, I think, too. This change that comes upon us in life can be joyful, like the birth of a baby, or it can be ominous, like everything else in the world that seems to be going on. So much change. We get tired, don't we, and exhausted and stressed out. I've noticed in email chains that I'm part of that there's a little chippiness going on, right? A little stress and anxiety. Sometimes we aren't acting as our best selves. We've lost the capacity maybe to be patient in the midst of all of the anxiety, stress, and change that is going on. And just when we think we're finally through the pandemic, along comes the Omicron variant. Who knows how bad that's going to be? We tense ourselves and wait to see what's going on. We know that change is inevitable, but we don't have to like it. You know that old joke, especially Episcopalians for some reason, how many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? There are a variety of versions of this, but the one I like is it takes three. It takes one to change the light bulb, and two to complain about how much better the old light bulb was. It's probably not just Episcopalians. I think we want certainty. We want things to be stable. And how do we find stability in a world of stress and anxiety and change? Where do we find that sense of stability? How can we have the eyes of Elizabeth to see the blessing in the midst of all the challenges? Well, I think there's some ways we can look at this. One is, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to feed the roots. If you think of ourselves as a plant, you know, there's the flower and the branches and the leaves, but the most important part of the plant is the roots. If the root system is healthy, by and large, that plant is going to be healthy. What's the pH balance in the soil? How deep are those roots going? What kind of, is it clay soil or is it a nice rich earth? When those roots can be deep and stable, the plant can withstand high temperatures and winds and challenges. And we need to attend to our root system. Whether we are new parents, parents of a second child, or whether we're just trying to make it through this life with health crises and stresses in our families and problems, what does that look like? Sometimes it's really basic. Sometimes it's as simple as tending to our own health. I've been reading a lot about how important sleep is. Americans are the most sleep-deprived culture. We're really bad at sleeping. Half of us are on sleeping pills, and that messes us up in other ways. We're insomniacs. We can't get to sleep. We wake up early. A good night's sleep, finding ways to calm ourselves down and to sleep well is hugely important. Eating well. Now, I'm failing at this right now because I have, 3,000 delicious Christmas cookies at home of one kind or another. They all have butter and sugar and all my favorite things. So I just got to confess, eating healthy is not my, I'm trying, but I might have to wait for another week. And then exercise, just going out for a walk or finding ways to move our bodies and to gain, again, a sense of stability and peace. And then there's emotional and spiritual root tending as well. To nourish and nurture the relationships that matter. The relationship with God. How are we doing with taking time for prayer, for stillness? How are we doing with connecting or reconnecting with the key people in our lives, with our family and friends? Christmas cards for me are a really important exercise. I resent the heck out of it because it's just one more task to do in this crazy busy season. But I've been trying to just think over the list of people and just take a minute to pray for all the people on my Christmas card list, many of whom I haven't spoken to in years, but who are precious to me. How might we reestablish some deep connections with those people who mean the most to us, instead of letting our lives get so hectic and out of control? Anyway, tending those roots means the world. It means that we have the capacity to handle it when our kids have a tantrum and we don't fly off the handle because we're centered. It helps us when we're dealing with the pandemic or with a tough thing at work or in our families. We have some margin, some capacity, some ability to see the blessing. Because that's what it's about. It's about seeing God's presence in the right here and now. Not some far off time when we finally get our act together, but experiencing God right now, in this moment. Because that moment is all we have, right? The present moment. How can we see the blessing? So I invite us this week as we prepare for Christmas with all the hectic stuff going on to celebrate the real essence for me of Christmas, which is that coming of Christ into the world and into our lives. How can we open our eyes to see the blessing, to see the blessing of Christ, to see the blessing today of Lucy, and to see the abundance of blessings that God has given us in those relationships that matter, in our lives, in our capacity to do good. There's so much good in the midst of challenge. I want to end with just two quick examples of how I saw that this weekend at St. Philip's. We see in the midst of challenges, change can bring blessings. So, you know, we've been experimenting with all kinds of technology during the pandemic, outside services, inside services, Zoom, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. I wondered, when we started coming back to church, would we still have a congregation, or would people have just scattered to the four winds? Partly because we had to adapt with this technology, and people were able to find us online and to see what was going on, this year has been the biggest year for growth since I've been at St. Philip's. I find that amazing. Don't you? I find that a blessing in the midst of challenge. Our outreach programs, our blood drive on Friday, we have had to adapt. We moved to St. Paul's Methodist Church because our space wasn't big enough for the Red Cross. We went through all these gyrations. Stephanie Beatty wanted this one, maybe her last blood drive, to be here for December. So on Friday, she browbeat the Red Cross into bringing it back here. She reorganized the whole flow of everything to make sure that it would work. And we had our best blood drive of her whole 12 years of leading blood drives. Amazing, right? See the blessing. Elaine Hernandez, who did our Christmas food basket project for years and years. We used to do those little index cards. You'd take the cards home. Well, we couldn't do that with the pandemic. We moved that all online, and it went as smoothly as it ever has. So anyway, seeing the blessing. That's what I invite us to do this week before Christmas. Look around us. We get so beaten down by the challenges and stresses. How can we see the blessing? May you be blessed. May Lucy be blessed. May all of us experience the abundance of God's blessings this Christmas and always. Amen.